You're listening to classical pianist Christopher O'Reilly. The song's off his new CD called True Love Waits. What may surprise you is it's a cover of a song from the alternative rock band Radiohead. Radiohead's music intrigued O'Reilly from the first time he heard it back in 1997. He joined me from his home in L.A. Sitting at his piano, O'Reilly told me why he put out an entire CD of Radiohead songs.
The amazing thing for me is that their material is so uniform in excellence, even to the point where unreleased songs or songs that have only been played live or as demos are really quite high quality as well. And I think in the pop music world, there are only a couple of bands that you can say, you know, have that kind of quality. As a classical listener, you know, you buy a Mahler symphony, there aren't any weak tracks. With Radiohead, I really felt like from beginning to end, you were listening to a superb record. And that's, I guess, as a snob classical listener, that's what I'm used to.
Do you remember the first Radiohead piece you played?
I think I do, because it's still my favorite, and it's actually the title track. The two things that always attracted me to Radiohead's music, or to any music that I decide to play, are usually harmony on the one hand and texture on the other. Fairly simple C major harmony, followed by, you know, similarly treated E minor. My favorite. So first of all, the sort of prismatic quality with which one can do the accompaniment is an attractive thing.
Well, let's just take a break for a second and hear what they did with that. What do you have to do to take a Radiohead song like True Love Waits and make the piano do as much as they can do?
Well, I can never do everything that they can do, but I first of all listen to every available performance of the piece that I can find, because there's usually a fair amount of evolution from old to new that each song has gone through. The song Motion Picture Soundtrack that finishes Kid A, one of their latest records, that song, I found out from Tom York, was actually written 10 years before it actually found commercial release.
Here, we have an example of it. Let's listen to what they do. So what did you do with this tune?
Well, actually, it's funny because this is one of the examples of Radiohead starting simple and becoming rather grand. So, I mean, basically, the opening still works very nicely, you know, just kind of as a nice chorale. But the tune itself is, you know, again, quite beautiful. But what goes on later in the piece is that they overlay it with this enormous cascading texture of sampled harp glissandos. incorporating the harp line to the melody line is something that actually sounds much more like the old transcription tradition. So, and that kind of rather takes over the whole ending texture in their recording as well as mine. The actual notes are in the Radiohead version probably aren't so important as the texture itself. There's a fair amount of ingenuity that goes into choosing which glissandos to use, but I leave that as kind of open for interpretation, and so I've come up with my own that probably sound better as piano arpeggios than would their exact transcription.
Yeah. Now, while we're on that subject, I'm curious to know when you're playing a Radiohead song that has lyrics, when you're playing the melody that would be sung when Radiohead is performing, do you hear the words?
Absolutely. I think you have to. I mean, I think early on there were probably some versions that I did that kind of incorporated, you know, verse, refrain, verse, refrain, verse, refrain, and didn't pay much attention to exact phrasing differences from one verse to another. And I think the more you know a song, the better you can interpret it. And that's also part of, you know, what goes into so much interpretation as far as Schubert songs are concerned. The piano accompaniment never changes, and yet one has to be conscious all the time differences in the narrative from one verse to the next and how that might change even a concrete piano texture, how one might treat it differently in order to accommodate the needs of the text.
Earlier, before we began recording, in fact, we were talking about like Spinning Plates, which has a strong vocal track.
Right.
And it took you some work to make that happen as a piano piece?
The piano part. Will be instantly recognizable as, you know, that's the way Tom does it when they play it live. And the melody line, I thought, was kind of the first time that I felt compelled to really stretch things. And so with the harmonies involved, I thought this is a good opportunity to take the vocal line, and instead of, you know, just plunk it out note by note, you can actually incorporate what Thelonious Monk had contributed to piano sound and piano phrasing, particularly in jazz. He was sort of trying to emulate the saxophone and that kind of between the cracks kind of sound. He would add what people would refer to as wrong notes, but he was able to then give that sort of plangent sense to the melodic line. So, I mean, in slow-mo, I kind of reharmonized the melodic line so that it would exploit the differences in colors of the harmony, but also maybe give some sense to the human quality of the voice. So when it finally comes in, yeah, it sounds, at least in my version, something like this. So you can use the harmony to give a little bit more substance to the vocal line. While you
the rock world has embraced you with the production of this Radiohead album of yours. Rolling Stone gave it 4 stars. That's not common either way. Do you see this music as crossover music?
Well, yeah, I think there's been a fair amount of crossover in the last 600 years. I mean, Machaut using folk tunes for Cantus Firmus, and from there on, as you know, Beethoven and Mozart using popular arias of the time, Liszt doing the Hungarian Rhapsodies, things. Crossover only has become a dirty word because of the commercial implications. And the fact of the matter is, usually it's not such a bad idea. I think when the Beatles did A Day in the Life with full orchestra accompaniment, they didn't all of a sudden say, oh, well, let's do an all-orchestral album. It was just the needs of the piece demanded, you know, an orchestra. And right. I think Stravinsky, for instance, is very hard to do a Simply Stravinsky festival because every piece that he wrote was orchestrated particularly for the purposes of that event.
Well, and the big difference is when the Beatles added the orchestra to A Day in the Life, it's a very different sound from when 1001 Strings plays Yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Well, but at the same time, you know, there are good treatments and bad treatments, and sometimes they add up to one or two good ideas, and sometimes they don't add up to a whole good record. And quite frankly, I don't see it as a crossover project. I just see it as, gee, well, you know, I've been doing these Radiohead songs, and I love playing them, and oh, gosh, now we've got an album full of them, so let's do it. And the fact is that I'm proud of the record because, again, I think each song, thanks to Radiohead, is quite beautiful and worth listening to.
Maybe here at the end you could do exit music for a film?
I always forget to put that on the set list, and it's probably the first favorite encore. It's very nice, yeah. Very nice you asked. Very glad you remembered. Yeah, exit music for a film.
Christopher O'Reilly is the host of PRI's From the Top. His new CD is called True Love Waits. Christopher O'Reilly plays Radiohead.